All right, we welcome you back. Crunch time, excuse me, 95-3 the score. It is that time.
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Luckily, I have prepared for such an event. The lightning round!
Okay, so the last time I did a lightning round with you, Steve, I talked about the $40 million or so the Browns had in cap space due to a shocking new development, NFL players not wanting to sign in Cleveland. That seems to have taken a slight change with the Browns signing of RG3, seeming to take a deal in Cleveland to get a legitimate shot at becoming an NFL starter once again. A, this is a decent signing by Cleveland, giving all the money they have. RG3 has the ability to leave the Browns as an NFL quarterback. B, the signing is flashy, but RG3 isn't the quarterback that the Browns need to leave them out of the NFL's bottom. Or C, this is Cleveland. No matter who the Browns draft, sign, or trade for, it's going to be the definition of suck in the NFL forever.
Give me A again.
It's a decent signing by Cleveland. RG3 can be a decent NFL quarterback.
We all know it's not the answer, but logic and the law of averages says you actually have to go with A, because under $155 million salary cap, paying him $3.5 up front and what his cap hit will be this year, next year, is negligible. It seems like the classic case of low risk, possible high reward. So it's one of the few times I know I'm wrong, but I'm picking A.
That sounds good. Last Saturday, we had a 12, a 13, a 14, and a 15 seed win and have upsets in the NCAA tournament, making the first time in tournament history that the 12 through 15 seeds all won on the same day. And many are saying this is the wildest, craziest opening weekends in NCAA tournament history. Just go ahead and ask you and I. But is it actually? A, this is probably the wildest opening weekend. People for years are going to be talking about the upsets that happened and the way games ended and just the wackiness of this tournament. B, it was a wild weekend, but we say that every year, and 365 days from now, we're going to be having the exact same discussion. Or C, every opening weekend is special in its own way. I can't pick the craziest. It's like picking your favorite child.
I think because programs who are a regular and have success in this dance, like Gonzaga, VCU, and Syracuse, were all double-digit seeds who advanced, along with Middle Tennessee State and Hawaii. I think you could pinpoint it and say, just because of that, what it did to people's brackets, that the ones advanced and everything else was a crapshoot, I'm going to call it the wildest opening weekend. And the buzzer beaters, the Texas A&M game with Northern Iowa melting down, some great finishes, the dunk that wasn't against Cincinnati. Oof. Yeah, I'm going on a limb. I'm saying, hey, this is just wild.
Outside of Gonzaga, Syracuse, and Wisconsin teams you just mentioned, there aren't any classic Cinderellas left in the Sweet 16. Texas A&M seems to be living on borrowed time after that unthinkable comeback against UNI. Pretty sure the team collectively sold a little bit of their soul to get through after that comeback. It's ridiculous. A, that's fine. The Sweet 16 is, you know, about the big dogs showing their worth as top seeds. Or B, what makes March feel like March is a 12 or 13 racing away with our hearts to the Sweet 16, and this year is kind of missing something. Or C, I haven't been bothered about finding a Cinderella this year because I've been too busy with my raging hatred of Duke.
You know what? I was joking around the other day saying, you know, Cinderella is the fairy tale on Friday and Saturday. Then it morphs into Little Red Riding Hood, and Cinderella is Little Red Riding Hood and gets eaten by the big bad wolves. And that's exactly what happened. So I'm going to go with A. Reality hit, cream rises to the top. And to tell you the truth, I kind of like it because, come on. Indiana, North Carolina, Villanova, Oregon, Duke. You've got Kansas still in there, Blue Bloods, and everything from this point forward is just super earned. I love it. I'm going A.
The big story in Eugene is not the International Champions Cup coming this summer, but it's the Ducks, and they're playing the Blue Devils in a game later today, 1-4. And for what seems crazy is the Ducks aren't the 4 seed, they're the 1 seed. A program on the rise, as you said yesterday, possibly knocking on the door of being a perennial basketball program. A, the Ducks have already gone well and beyond expectations for this season. Win or lose, people will see this team as one of the best Duck teams ever. B, to truly reach the next level, the Ducks have to play and beat a team like Duke to prove their worth, especially with how poor the Pac-12 has been this March. Or C, let's take it one game at a time and focus on hating Duke like we've never hated Duke before.
I don't really hate Duke, so
You're a liar. You know you hate Duke.
I'm being misrepresented. Yeah, they have exceeded expectations, but at this point it doesn't matter. If they want to do what football has done and be on that short list when people talk about, hey, next year, who do you think's got a shot? And somebody outside of the Pacific Northwest is talking about Oregon. They've got to win this game. The national attention on them, basketball-wise, is probably unprecedented. They're playing Duke. Opportunity has never knocked so loud. I'm going to go with B. They got to win this game if they want to become more than just a program that is on the rise and one that has risen and landed in uncharted waters. All right, that just about does it.